You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Jamie Spence.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Kiradek Afibanrat produces a match play masterclass to claim the ISPS Handa World Super 6 Perth.
I'm so happy. I'm working so hard. Last few months I've been getting really close every week and finally I'm done it.
We'll hear from the new four-time European Tour champion shortly. And we'll also get reaction from runner-up James Nitties, who narrowly missed out on victory in his homeland.
Being able to win might have got me some playing rights somewhere in the world because I currently have no status, but it was a great week. Considering I was a four-footer away from losing the first match, it was pretty positive stuff getting to the finals.
A full review of the action from Down Under to come, plus we'll speak to Sam Horsfield as he looks to build on his strong finish in Australia at the next event, the inaugural NBO Oman Open. Hello, I'm Robert Lee and I'm joined by former European Tour champion 60 shooter in the final round in Switzerland up in the mountains all those years ago, Jamie Spence.
Keep saying that, Robert. Sounds good.
It
long time ago,
good.
Though. Ancient history. Let's talk about the future and the present.
Do you know, sometimes when you mention things like that, the hairs stand up in the back of your neck. That never happened for me there.
What, on that?
You're 60, talking about it.
Oh, it doesn't?
No, it didn't make it happen.
Okay.
Do you think Kiradek got excited after winning a second match play event on the European Tour in a row?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good match player, isn't he? He's an underrated player still. Lots been talked about Kiradek over the last 5 or 6 years since he came into prominence. A lot's been expected of him. I think he creeps inside the top 50 of the world rankings, does he, with that
win? He was back in a few months ago at the Rolex event in Italy, Italian Open. He was looking like he was going to be in a playoff. And in the end, it was the brilliance of the young Englishman.
Tyrrell Hatton.
Tyrrell. I was trying to think of Tyrrell's putt on the last green there. Tyrrell Hatton, who pipped him. There, so he's played really well in big events. And you know, the amazing thing was he wasn't even going to go and play here.
No, he's going to go on holiday. And good decision. Didn't play a practice round either, which is unusual, just shows. And he just crept into the 24. We'll talk about the format in a little bit there. But you've got to get in the top 24 to get into that Super 6 match play. And it took him four goes down the 18th to get one of the spots. So it was on a knife edge all the way through for him.
Well, the thing is, if you are going to go all the way, or pretty much all the way here, you are going to play an awful lot of golf. You don't really want to play too many holes before the thing gets cracking.
That's a good point. You've got to save yourself. Afibanrat played, I think it was 93 holes in total for the week. That is a lot of golf. And it's a pretty hilly course. Have you played there, Rob?
I didn't. I worked down there.
Yeah.
Isn't Lake Carignac with the first hole kind of over the edge of the water, over those trees?
First hole goes down the hill, short par four.
Wrong course, Rob.
But there is water on the golf course. But good track. Wind blows. So, yeah, you think 93 holes. He doesn't look the fittest, Afibanrat, but he's golf fit and his swing. He's got his own way of play. A bit like John Daly, isn't he? Very long in the swing.
A natural.
Very natural player.
Yeah, very natural.
Got a lot of touch.
And he has a go when he plays. He plays like he's having a go.
Oh, he does. Yeah.
Well, the format is pretty unusual. It's the only one like it, we think, in world golf. The ISPS Handa World Super 6 in Perth. So it starts, Jamie, with a massive field of 156 players. That's normal in stroke play, but this is how it breaks down. And a cut is made after 36 holes, 65 and ties for players to try and make it into the final 24.
Yeah, after three rounds, they have another cut to the top 24 players. And if you're tied on that 24th spot, you play off on the 18th. And I think there was nine players playing for eight spots. And in the end, Kiradek got the last spot, beating Anthony Quayle in the fourth extra hole just to get in to the match play. So
I'm worth mentioning that the players that didn't make it into the 24th or the top 24 positions who missed out, they get paid in their position that they finished after they've made the cut. So they're still earning points and making money, but they just don't qualify to play the Sunday.
Yeah, they just don't get to play for the big pot of gold at the top. But you're right, Rob, they still get their Race to Dubai points.
And the holes they decided to play were the 11th, 13th, 14th, 12th and 18th. Including the 10th at the front, because it wasn't written in number form, so I missed it out. 10th, 11th, 13th, 14th, 12th and 18th. All back nine, but building up towards where the crowd was at the 18th.
Yeah, that's right. And again, you need the right loop of holes. It was a drivable par four, short par three, so they had a good mixture of holes. And the 18th, as I know, having played it, is a difficult par four to finish with anyway, so lots can happen on that hole. So excellent. And if it was all square after the 18th, they went back and played a little 95 yard par three to the 18th green, just down the fairway, a shootout hole. So they were going to have it when the original concept was nearest the pin.
So you only play it once?
Yeah, you just had nearest the pin, but it was decided that...
They do that in the Trilby Tour, you know.
Do they really?
Shootout, nearest the pin.
Well, there you go.
World ranking points in the Trilby Tour.
Being very well-dressed, Rob, you know all about that.
Thank you, sir. Afi Barnrat's fellow countryman Prom Misawat finished top of the leaderboard on 12 under after 3 days of stroke play. And I guess there's always a sense that maybe you played the best golf over 3 days, you deserve more, but that's not what you sign up for.
Doesn't make any difference whatsoever, quite frankly. Afi Barnrat, last man in, and he won it. So, in fact, you could say it's an advantage to play that first round of matches because the top eight in the stroke play were receded.
So they got a bye. Which is fair, isn't it?
It is fair, but then you could say, would you rather have gone out and played those six holes and just got the feel of the golf course?
Bit of a rhythm going,
and then
yes,
they come in.
Yes, if you
and
win. Only if you win.
Yeah, so...
If you lose, you're out.
Yeah, but last year when Rumford beat Conwatmai only qualified in the death as well. So I think I'd rather be out there playing, personally. But, you know, it is what it is. But you're right, someone who leading after three rounds and gets chopped out in the first round, it doesn't seem fair, but that's the way it is.
Well, Afi Barnrat beat Ben Eccles, Yasuku Miyazato, Sean Crocker and Lucas Herbert to qualify for the final of the Super Six. Do you know what? Over six holes... It's a sprint. If you get off to a tough start, Jamie, it's so hard to recover.
Well, it is.
You go behind. There's not much time.
Well, you can panic, can't you?
Yeah.
But Afi Barnrat went behind in the final, and he ended up winning 2-1. So, yeah, it does suit the player, I think, who's going to have a go at it, make plenty of birdies. Against Miyazato, he's the fifth shootout hole. Had to play that little par three five times. So quite an effort from Afi Barnrat to do that, and then go straight out and play against Sean Crocker, the underrated American, by the way. He's a pretty good player, Sean Crocker. And meanwhile, James Nitties, who he played in the final. Is it James Nitties?
Yes, yes.
It is James. I'm thinking of Sean, I don't know why. You know, he beat Nick Cullen, Dimitris Papadatis, and Callan O'Reilly, and Sam Horsfield, Robert.
Yeah.
Good player, isn't he?
Well, obviously won the Q School by 8 shots, and people are talking about him being the next big thing. If you can do that over six rounds, you know, when the pressure's really on, you've got some game. So he's been feted for a long time by Ian Poulter, and it's great that he's now got a really good event under his belt, because that's important. Get on the road to collecting Race to Dubai points. That's what you need when you come from the school, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's a tough start, isn't it? If you miss a few cuts, you start panicking a bit, but he's had a really good result this week, Horsford.
So let's just talk about the final then briefly. Nitties went up at the first, and then it was all square by the third. Then with three holes to go, it's game on.
Oh, yeah. Get to that short fourth hole where Afi Barnrat hit a fantastic three-wood and made an eagle. So went one up. And then they both hit good tee shots at the fifth. But when Nitties missed his putt, Afi Barnrat took his chance and it was all over in a flash.
But isn't it funny how life, you know, throws stuff at you? He wasn't going to go and play here. He was going to go on holiday. And then a few days later, after 93 holes of golf, he walks off as a champion. I mean, he may easily have decided just not to go there. I'm going to go to the Maldives.
Yeah, why would he have decided?
There's the thing.
It's fate, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think what dragged him there, he said in his interviews, he'd been playing. He felt his game was there.
Right.
He just needed a bit. And he just thought, you know what, I'll give it one more go. He's a good match player.
And that's the point. He probably reflected that he's quite good at match play.
Yeah, he's a good match player. And he just thought, you know what, I'll give it one more go.
What makes you good at match play?
I think people who take the course on, actually. I don't think you want to be too... It's easy to get a defensive mindset when you play match play. You need to be like you, Robert, just grip it and rip it and then lose 5-4.
Yeah, and go out, you know, if you're going to crash and burn...
Blaze of glory.
Blaze of glory, baby, blaze of glory. Let's hear from the winner of the second instalment of the ISPS Handa World Super 6 in Perth, Kiradek Afi Barnrat.
I don't know how to explain, but I'm so happy. I'm working so hard. Last few months, I've been getting really close every week, and finally, I'm done it.
You were the last man into the knockout, and now you're the last man standing. How satisfying is this victory?
It's really tough to get in the last 24, and it's been tough every single match that I play until knockout. James was playing so good, but he's just unlucky at the end. I believe if he just keep doing what he do, one day he will be joining our tour for sure. But by the way, I'm just really happy with the result.
Talk us through the eagle. Was that one of your best tee shots of the week?
It's one of the best tee shots in my life so far.
And finally, how much does this mean to you?
Well, it means a lot. When you focus on something, you try hard, practice hard. Then I was finished second, keep finish it. And I'm not giving up. I'm trying so hard until I get it.
You know what made me smile from that interview? He said, I'm sure if James keeps playing well, he'll be joining our tour very shortly.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah, he's been a great success, hasn't he? It's not easy being an Asian player, playing in the heat and the different conditions they are.
Tong Chai was the trailblazer, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. And
to show that Asian players away from their homeland can go across to Europe and compete and win in conditions that aren't what they've been brought up on. And Australia would be the same as that.
But unless you travel, you're never going to compete on the world stage. And Kiradek understands that. And he's gradually going about his business nice and slowly, staying on the European tour, playing a few events in America as well. Gets in a few of the WGCs, and it's really,
it's all
really
going
good
well,
player.
Isn't it?
Really good player.
It's all going well. He's only 28 years of age, and it's his second match play event. As we said, the last one was the 2015 Saltire Energy Paul Lawrie match play up in Scotland. And not only does he make significant strides into the Race to Dubai, we'll hear shortly, he also moves back into the top 50 in the world. You were wondering about that. And so,
and he is, yeah.
And now once you're there...
Difficult to work out these world rankings.
Yeah, I know, they fluctuate a lot.
Yeah, but he's back in there, and that's a huge thing.
So there's potential...
Masters.
Well, the cut-off will come soon, the first cut-off for Masters inclusion. If he can stay in there, he'll get in it.
Mm. And then you've got to start working out, is it best for me to... Which is what I don't like about the world rankings, where you've got to decide whether it's best for me to play to earn more points or not play and protect my point spread. So, yeah. But let's hope he's over there.
I think he's a player.
He's a good player.
Yeah.
Oh, he is a player.
Yeah. OK, to the runner-up, and despite a mightily impressive performance in front of his home fans, James Nitties was disappointed his efforts didn't ultimately end in glory.
Yeah, it's a sad way to go down, considering, being able to win might have got me some playing rights somewhere in the world, because I currently have no status. But it was a great week. Considering I was a four-footer away from losing the first match, it was pretty positive stuff getting to the finals.
Does James Nitties, with that loss in the final, get into Oman?
Only if he's a member. So whether if he's joined our tour, he'll get him in.
That will count as a top 10?
Yes.
That's interesting.
I don't know what the criteria would have been.
Yeah, I shouldn't have thrown that at you. It was a bit tricky.
You should have done, really, but you did.
But I'm just wondering, because he said he was, he's got nowhere to play. And I thought, if he's played well there, he might get into Oman and maybe you can bounce along a few weeks.
Well, that's providing he joined the tour.
You need to be an affiliate member.
If you win, you get invited.
That's done.
That you're done, you're invited in. But if you're not win, you've got to show a commitment to the tour, because he didn't go to tour school, I'm presuming. So you've got to pay your way in. You've got to earn your way into the European tour.
He's been around a while.
He has been around a while, yeah.
35 years of age, played in the PGA Tour for a couple of years from 2009. And he did win on the web.com tour in 2011.
What was interesting was he didn't talk about the cash or anything like that. He talked about the playing opportunity. He wanted that win, get him on the European tour for a couple of years.
Well, when you've got nowhere to play, that's your ticket, isn't it?
Make his way in the world
of ticket.
Golf. So only 35, he's still got time ahead of him.
Yeah, he's got time, yeah. And maybe that's the confidence that he'll need to just, get over the mark. And the third, fourth playoff was won by Nitti's compatriot Lucas Herbert after he beat Englishman Sam Horsfield 3-1. So how does the Australian feel about his performance?
Yeah, really pleased. I played really well today in the match play format. Held some really clutch putts when I needed to. So, overall, very pleasing week.
How much confidence does your performance here give you for the rest of your season?
It brings a lot more confidence. It's sort of some good results now on the back of... on top of each other now. So, just try and keep building on that, playing well, and hopefully just getting some good results.
Well, good to hear the thoughts of Lucas Herbert. So a highest ever finish in the European Tour event for Q School winner Sam Horsfield, who I'm delighted to say joins us on the Race to Dubai show now, live from Oman, ahead of this week's event at the NBO Oman Open. Sam, how are you? And you must be very pleased after a good week.
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How about you guys?
Yeah, we're doing okay. I'm alongside Jamie Spence. Your game must be in great shape. Does it feel good to you?
Yeah, I've been feeling like I've been playing pretty good recently, but I just haven't been scoring as well as I feel like, and last week just to get some results and see the way that I've been playing pay off is nice.
Sam, did you have a different mindset to the stroke play when you played the golf course in Perth as you did to the Super 6 side of it?
No, not really. I mean, obviously, when you're playing match play, if you have the honour, you always want to try to put the pressure on, and then If you're second and your opponent hits a good shot, you also got to be aggressive. So in that aspect, yeah, but I just tried to go out there and play my game and just beat the guy I was playing, really.
Just tell us on the Race to Dubai show, what are the strengths of your game, Sam? What do you consider to be the best part of your game? Short game or your long driver, or is it a bit of all around?
I hit it pretty far. I think my driving average this year is like 307 or something like that.
That's long enough.
Jamie.
So being able to hit it that distance and take out some of the trouble, you know, is always good. And I feel like I'm a good putter. Those two parts of the game.
That's a great combo, Sam. Drive it miles and putt well. I mean, that's pretty much all you have to do.
Yeah.
It's the first time you played in the Super Six. Did you enjoy the format?
I did, yeah. It was a lot of fun. I think every week we play 72-hole stroke play, and, you know, to switch it up and do something a little different was nice. And I think everybody that I talked to liked the format.
When you came into Oman, is it as desertified as maybe Abu Dhabi is or Dubai is, or is it greener?
No, it's there's not a lot around here. There's a lot of desert and a lot of sand flying around. So being from Florida where it's wetlands, it's a little different.
Now we know that you've got a close relationship with Ian Poulter. Have you spoken to him last couple of days?
No, I haven't spoken to him. I saw him. Obviously, he played Dubai, so I saw him a lot there. But I haven't talked to him. He has a busy schedule, and you know, being away with all the time changes and stuff like that, it's pretty hard to talk to people back home. Like I said, I always know that he's watching me, watching my scores and stuff like that.
Well, Pulse is watching, that's for sure. You've had a relationship with him for a long time now. Going forward from this point, you've got some very important Race to Dubai points up. Because you've won the Q School, you're in a great position, but there's always a re-rank coming. When does that come for you?
Oh, I think it's a week before Wentworth.
So these weeks now, these weeks that you're playing, Sam, they're all important.
Yeah, I mean, I think every week's important to everybody. But last week it was really good to sort of get some momentum going, and, you know, I have three more weeks, and then a little bit of time off. So these next 3 weeks are going to be huge, and, you know, playing well the first week, you know, it's good for the momentum and get that going.
Well, you've got a good 2 weeks to look forward to here in Oman and then in Qatar next week. What are your hopes for this week? You're hoping you can challenge and maybe win this week?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I felt like I had a really good chance last week. I put myself in a great position. You know, the semifinals, which, you know, obviously I was disappointed to lose in, but, at the end of the day, it's match play and it's golf. You know, anything can happen. And, I think my game's in great shape. And I haven't even seen the course, but it's pretty windy here from what I can see right now looking out the window. So, it got pretty windy last week. So, yeah, playing a couple of weeks in the wind and,
It's going to be windy this week, maybe. It's definitely going to be windy in Qatar. It's always breezy there. Are you a good wind player?
It was pretty windy last week. So, and it was windy in Spain where Q School was. So I'd say, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, Sam. I know you're playing well. You had a good performance in Australia. And you're now in Oman. We have to pick two players every week, Jamie and myself, who we think are going to play well. I'm backing you this week.
Okay, no pressure then.
No pressure. I'm backing you. Your job is to get back on this microphone in 7 days' time.
Okay, sounds good.
Sounds good, Sam. Thanks for spending time with us on the Race to Dubai show. Good luck.
Thanks. We'll see you guys soon. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to hear from Sam, and obviously full of excitement, Jamie, and looking forward to this week in Oman.
Well, he's right, isn't he? 21, travelling the world, playing the game that he loves.
And averaging 306 and putts well.
That's not... Come on. Love that.
You just... All day long, wouldn't you? All day long.
I'd love to average three something.
That's average.
307.
You got three in your averages, but not at the front.
So when you look through the stats of the players, there's so many that average 300 and whatever.
I remember back in the day when Woozy won the driving distance with about 285 yards.
And that was with a wood.
Yes.
Let's see how these guys are with a wood.
Well, you can't...
Let's have a tournament with a wood, see what happens there. They won't be averaging 300 then, I can tell you that.
No, that's true. That is very true. Now, one other notable tidbit from the ISPS Handa World Super 6. Perth, despite sharing the lead after two rounds, defending champion Brett Rumford and Lee Westwood failed to qualify for the final 24 after both shooting rounds of 78. That was a massive surprise from both men.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned this because I woke up Saturday morning and I, as you do, fumble for the phone to go through the scores. Bit sad on a Saturday, but they do. We both play the fantasy golf and I just couldn't believe it. Not only those two.
They were both in my six, of course.
Yeah, well,
and yours.
Rumford, Wade Ormsby and Jason Scrivener all way up there thinking, well, you know, they're no problem.
Here we go.
I was just actually looking down the other end to see if anyone else had crept in, perhaps. But they weren't even on the first page.
It was very, very surprising that.
You do get that win come in the afternoon in Perth, but it was incredibly surprising.
Now, predictions this year, it's different. We're going presenter versus co-presenter head-to-head, two picks each. You can pick the player you think is going to win, and you pick a player from outside the top 50 on last year's 2017's Race to Dubai. So you get 20 points for a win, 10 for a top 5, 5 for a top 20, and minus 5 for an MC. One pick has to be from outside the top 50, as I said, in the 2017 R2-D2 standings. To go sort of Star Wars on you there for a little bit. Dan Roebuck presenting went for Kiradek Afibarnak. Winner, 20 points. Shiv Kapoor miscut minus 5, so he gets 15. Richard Boxall, who can always be depended upon to come up trumps for the co-presenters, went for Ryan Fox, who made the cut but didn't get into the top 24. And Brett Rumford, who made the cut but didn't get into the top 24. So he averaged 0 points. Nil point.
Which was good for Richard.
Which is a fact.
Yeah, very good. He's done better.
Well, he's
much better.
He could have picked two that both missed the cut. He'd be minus 10.
That's a good point.
I mean, to be on zero for Richard.
He's very consistent, Richard.
Very consistent.
He's a consistent
and you know, he consider 0 points to be level par.
Makes money.
Overall, presenters are on 45 points, which is where I'm sitting. And the co-presenters...
But not you, but it was Dan Roebuck.
But some of the 10 points that the co-presenters have got, I have contributed to when Dan sat here, you see. So I'm
very smart.
I'm pumping it on both ends.
I heard that Dan gives you his tips. Is that right? He rings you before you come in the studio, is that right?
He says he is the tips.
Oh, okay.
That's what he says, because he does a lot.
Right, stop
a lot
get
of homework. Okay. 10 in the Race to Dubai, please, Jamie.
Let's read the top 10 in the Race to Dubai. Now, Kiradek Afibarnak jumps into the top 10 at 10. Ross Fisher, he's at 9. Wade Ormsby, he's at 8. Jorge Campillo, he's a favourite of yours, Robert.
Yep.
He's at 7. Dylan Fratelli, the exciting South African, at 6. Chris Paisley at 5. Rory's at 4. Li Hao Tong is 3. Tommy Fleetwood at 2. And Shubhankar Sharma. Who would tip him?
You!
Number one. Me!
You did!
I know.
But not this week.
Maybe not.
We'll find out.
Oh,
hold your horses. And now, Jamie, the all-important Ryder Cup list as we stand in February.
Well, Robert...
was that Russell?
That was Russell.
Go on, crack on.
Would you like me to do the world points list or the European points list?
I'll leave it
first?
Up to you because you are deeply ensconced in the European Ryder Cup.
I'm going to do the European points list first, and Justin Rose tops that. He's a shoo-in. Tyrrell Hatton second. He's a shoo-in. Ross Fisher, I expect him to be there, but he's got some work to do. He's at 3. Matt Fitzpatrick, he's at 4. I think he'll get there as well. Then, in the world points list, which is all the world ranking points you accumulate, Jon Rahm, he's the first on top of that, just below Justin.
He's a shoo-in.
Next qualifier, he's a shoo-in. Tommy Fleetwood, shoo-in.
Going the right way.
Definitely. Not a shoo-in, according to Mr. Lee. Sergio Garcia, shoo-in.
Definite shoo-in.
And number 8, he might get there. I'm not sure, though.
Rory McIlroy. Shoo-in.
Yeah. Shoo-in. So there's the 8. Strong 8.
Yeah, strong 8. Very strong 8. And there are others that aren't in there yet. Paul Casey and co. So there's a bunch of... Those names will all come under pressure. They're not going to stay there and consolidate all the way at the tape. There's a lot of golf we played.
Oh, yeah. Stenson as well. Guerrero Bayo. Plenty of others.
Yeah, there's going to be a bit of movement there. But it's a very strong 8 right now. And Thomas Bjorn must be absolutely thrilled. Now to the fancy Race to Dubai game, and it's congratulations to listener Sean Murphy after his team Beardies scored the most points in the show's mini-league. Sean's decision to go for Kiradek Afibarnak as his captain certainly paid off as he amassed just over 500,000 points. Fellow listener Magnus Dulka has leapt to the top of the overall standing with me, Robert Lee, in fourth place. Tim Jones remains top of the global standings with Greg Getmain the best in the world last week. Jamie, you're 66th out of 78 people last week.
Yes.
And you had Kiradek as well?
I didn't have Kiradek.
Oh, you didn't have him?
No, I had all my six made the cut. I had four in the top 24 going into the third round.
That's a fantastic position to be in.
They all missed the 24. All of them. I couldn't believe it. So, yeah, there you go. It was a tough one to call.
Yeah.
How did I not put Kiradek in? There we go.
I know, but it's like that every week, isn't it? You look at it and think, how did I not pick him?
I know. How did I not pick him?
Yeah. To join in, go to europeantour.com/myeuropeantour. Pick your team, and then under the private league tab, enter the pin. Small V, small W, capital R, small J, small G, small R, capital J, capital N, small Y. And don't forget to check out the Fantasy 3 to watch for this week's event on the European Tour, with our tips to come in just a few minutes' time. On to this week's event now in the NBO Oman Open at Al Muj Golf in the country's capital, Muscat. Not a place I've been to yet, Oman.
Me neither.
Only days away.
Yeah, we're off tomorrow, in fact. Not even days.
Yeah, that's true. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're going on holiday.
Been to Abu Dhabi, been to Qatar, been to Dubai.
Got your bucket and spade and your Speedos.
I've got the Speedos.
Got the Speedos.
Leopard print.
Okay.
Of course, yeah.
We'll get pictures of that, everybody. Yeah,
it's important. But lots of sun cream.
I'm imagining it just like Qatar. Windy, very open. No, I haven't been to Oman, seen the golf course, but they have shot some good scores on
the Challenge Tour
Grand Final there. I think Riethammer shot 20-odd under when he won. Previous to that, Gouveia.
But of course,
and Clemens Day with 13, 15
under. They can set the course
under.
Up more
they
difficult.
They can do. Yeah, I don't know whether they will. I'm just thinking it's going to be Qatar-like. It's by the coast, though, so you play alongside the ocean there. So.
That was the National Bank of Oman Golf Classic, and it was the penultimate event on the Challenge Tour 2013 and 2014 before becoming the season-ending NBO Golf Classic Grand Final from 15 to 17. So it's had a lot of golfers around it. Good golfers.
Yeah, it certainly has. And looking down through the players that have played it before, trying to come up with so it's not easy. There's a lot of guys, obviously, field of 40 odd for that. I think it's 45 actually for the grand final. A lot of guys have played it, but it's difficult to pick one of those who's going to do well this week. I've had a look.
Tell me if you think my producer has pasted and copied the next sentence. It opened in September 2012. Al Muj Golf stretches across 6 kilometres of stunning coastline, flanking the pastel blue colours of the Indian Ocean, separated only by beautiful sandy beaches. What do you think?
I'm not sure.
He has a paste and copy. Is that his own work?
He could have pasted that one.
Possibly.
That's not how he greeted me this morning.
No, he doesn't sound like that. I mean, it's very flowery, isn't it?
Yes.
It's not Matt's normal language, really, that. But we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Greg Norman designed. He's got quite an influence on our tour, Greg Norman, with his course design.
Earth course.
Yeah.
And I'm expecting similar. Greg Norman was a great driver of the golf ball. We forget how great a player he was. And I've got to think it's going to be demanding off the tee.
Well, it's 7,342 yards, Jamie, if you're wondering. I know you're a man obsessed with distance, which is tour average these days. But at coastal level, it's not a short golf course.
The big factor here will be the wind.
The wind, yeah.
It'll be the wind, without doubt.
And only one hole, that's the eighth, with a tree on it. The rest of the fairways are treeless.
It's unusual for trees to be on a fairway, and I think this one's quite significant by all accounts.
OK, we're looking forward to seeing that. Get the first seven, then the big build-up for the eighth when you get there to see the tree. Now, the thing
it's a tree!
It's a tree! Now, the thing I must mention is the sand, Crush Marble. How were you as a bunker player at Crush Marble?
Oh, that's not easy. It's not easy. Soft. The club just buries itself in it, so you've got to be a bit shallower, I think, and you've got to hit it harder. You might even need a different sand arm, a bit more bounce on it.
Do you remember the golf course in Tenerife?
I do. Golf del Sur, and it was a volcanic sort of sand.
It was crushed lava.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And the chunks of lava were so big that when it got between the club face and the ball, as it should do for a bunker shot, it pinged off at tangents.
Yeah.
It was extraordinary.
Yeah, I don't mind having different surfaces to play, but it just takes a bit. I used to have a very sharp sand arm with hardly any bounce when I first came out. But of course, you're playing that marble.
You soon got rid of that.
No chance. You can't. You need some bounce on it.
Be like Gene Sarazen. You just put a big hunk of lead on it. This is how he invented the flange. He is a flange man.
It's a nice word.
Well, I mean, that's the bit that you need to create the bounce and to get it to come out the sand. Otherwise, too sharp, like the one you start with.
Just dig and go in. Can't get the ball out.
Water hazards on 10 holes.
That's normal, isn't it, these days?
That's a lot to me.
Well, I think it's down by the sea quite a lot of the holes, so there's quite a big water hazard.
Are they calling the ocean a hazard?
I presume so. Well, they are, aren't they?
I can't wait to see it, to be honest. No, we sort of talked it up now. Andy Sullivan in the field, Chris Wood, Tongchai, Jaidi, Matteo Manassero, Shabanka Sharma, Alex Levy, Jungun Wang, Andrew Johnson, plenty of others playing as well.
Yes, there are. Keep going, Robert.
You keep going. Tell us.
Bernd Riethammer, who's one round there, he's playing, but there's plenty of other players. Pablo Larrazabal played well the other week. Alexander Bjork, he's been playing pretty well as well. Richie Ramsey, he's there. Keep going on and on and on, really. So, it's a fantastic field. Callum Shinquin, he played well in the Challenge Tour Grand Final a couple of years ago. He's playing. So, yeah, it's wide open. It's wide open, this one.
So, tips-wise, are you going for somebody that's been there in the Challenge Tour format and now on the main tour and they've played the course, or are you not?
Well, course form normally means... It does mean quite a lot, but you need a bit of talent to go with it as well. But I just look at the guy... it's difficult one to predict, I think. Am I sitting on the fence enough there?
Yes, you are. But the field includes young Jamie Spence, Andy Sullivan, who you say is coming back into form. And he may feature in your two picks this week.
It's possible. It is possible,
yes.
Yeah. He is coming back into form. Andy, fairly quiet year for him last year. 62nd on the race to Dubai. So, yeah, you expect a bit more from him. Ryder Cup players. Often happens, doesn't it? After Ryder Cup, players just lose their way a little bit and then they sort of find it again. So I think he's in that category as well. Alexander Levy.
Levy? Yes.
Levy, as in Chevy?
As in Levy was dry.
As in the Levy was dry.
Yeah.
Well, he's certainly not dry at the moment.
My. Yeah.
Bye-bye. He's looking to get into that Ryder Cup team. Obviously, playing some good stuff. So lots expected of him.
I tell you what, Junghun Wang, who won twice quickly when he came out on tour from absolutely nowhere, is a fantastic wind player. And if they get a bit of wind around here...
You're thinking of the Nedbank, aren't you?
I am thinking of the Nedbank, yeah. Day three, Saturday. Yeah. He shot 64 when hardly anyone broke 70.
Yeah, it was an incredible round of golf.
Incredible round of golf.
He's not easy to predict, though, is he?
No, I mean... what about Shubhankar Sharma? The year he's had?
Well, I tipped him up for Malaysia, rather luckily. But he won Joburg, and he looked very impressive there.
Yeah, he did.
He wins in Malaysia, and you just got to think... Well, why can't he win again? This guy might be the real deal. We're sort of still dismissing him a little bit, I think.
No, you said we. Don't use the royal we. You talk about yourself.
Well, I think we've only mentioned him in seventh or eighth name.
Well, we can't go through every player.
That to
well,
me.
Well, I'm just. This is not in order of importance. It's just as I see them.
Yeah, it'd be interesting how he gets on.
I could have started with Shubhankar Sharma. You wouldn't have said that.
Different golf course. I mean, obviously, Joburg was soft and pretty wet.
Yeah.
Malaysia was the same.
This is going to be breezy.
This is different. It's breezy.
Swing it easy in the breezy.
Yes.
Do you think that's good advice, generally?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely got to slow your temper.
Don't put too much spin on it.
If you swing at, say, an 8 or a 9 out of 10 in terms of speed...
Which all the young kids do.
Yes. You want to slow it down to what you think is about a 5. It won't be. But if you slow it down to about a 5, your timing will be better and your ball flight will be better as well in the wind.
So getting on to the sort of tricky bit of this... segment.
The tipping?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, the way we're going to do it is you go first, I go, you go, I go. So I'm not having any excuses from you, Spence. The man you want most, you go with first.
So we get one inside the last year's top 50.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be in that order, though. The man
outside.
You want to claim first.
OK, I'm going to claim Andy Sullivan first.
I see. I knew you were going to do that.
Yeah, because I knew you wanted it.
I'm going to claim Alex Levy.
Oh, that's cheat, because you know that's my main pick.
How do I know that? You haven't mentioned him.
We haven't mentioned him.
Not in the preamble. Ask my producer for verification. You have not mentioned him at all.
No, I think we need to backtrack here. Ask me the first question again.
I can't be more straightforward. I said the man you want most, and you said Andy Sullivan.
No, well, I actually, Alex Levy, I thought you were going to... You told me you were going with someone else. You've been very sneaky there, Mr. Lee.
You have been. I haven't. I gave you first pick of the whole show, and you went for Andy Sullivan.
Yes.
I can't be fair in that, so I've gone Alex Levy. You can have...
I think I'll go for the Frenchman, Alex Levy.
I've already picked him, you see. So you've got to find someone else now.
Well, that's not easy, is it? Okay, I'll go for Alexander Bjork.
So, and I'm going to have Thomas Detry. So I've got Alex Levy and Thomas Detry.
Well, that's a shock. You tip him every week.
No, I don't tip him every week.
You should only be allowed...
I wasn't on the show last week.
Fleetwood and Detry, that's
I do like Tommy Fleetwood, but he's playing well, isn't he?
Yeah. just the same ones all the time, isn't it? You're so predictable.
I wasn't predictable there. I mean, I gave you...
I told you up in the canteen before we came
you
down,
didn't
Alex
mention
Levy.
Alex Levy once this
And now
morning.
You've pinched him.
I've listened
I've
to your drivel.
No,
I've listened to your
facts.
Drivel for 2 hours. Not once did you put the two words Alex and Levy together.
So who have you forced me into? Sullivan and Bjork.
You wanted Sullivan. You've got Andy Sullivan and you've got the man you wanted. I went for Alex Levy. I've got Detry and you've got Bjork.
See, it's just bully tactics, listeners.
Bully tactics. I couldn't be fairer than that. Pick the man you want first, and you did. Now, in other news, the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am was played last week in California. Ted Potter Jr., out of absolutely nowhere, had his card in the PGA Tour, lost it, got it back, and then the 34-year-old went on to beat a top-class field, including the world number one, Dustin Johnson, who finished second. An amazing... We've had that before in that tournament. You know, people come out of nowhere and win it. Incredible.
Well, he has won before, hasn't he? On the PGA Tour. I think he has. We were talking about it last night. Yeah, I think he won 2012 somewhere like
Lost
that.
His card.
Lost his card. Went to Hogwarts, found some magic, and here he is.
As the Potter?
As the Potter. He's got to be called Harry, hasn't he? That's got to be his name, surely. Harry.
I'm trying... just for fun. I'm trying to think who else won. And I can see them both in my head. Out of nowhere, they won the Pebble Beach...
Tiger Woods? You know that?
No, the guy who played with Bill Murray, who Bill Murray was so crazy for the whole week, he kind of took his mind off what he was doing.
Yeah.
And
but
then
you can't remember his name.
No. And out of nowhere, Vaughan Taylor won. Vaughan Taylor won it. Ex-Ryder Cup,
yes.
Played in Ireland in 2006. But he had no form, went there, won that, and then disappeared again.
So somebody won who you can't remember a few years ago.
I can see
it. Is that your thread here?
That is my thread.
But he did well to hang on. Potter watched a bit of the last night.
69.
Dustin Johnson, he was odds on favourite going to the last round. I thought he would win, but he had a terrible tee shot on the par three early in the round into the hazard. Took five, so disappointed.
The guy I can't think of his name is doing my head in now.
Well, you go. Mickelson.
You remember Vaughan Taylor winning that?
No.
I'm sure he won it either last year or the year before. Maybe the year before.
Mickelson's stamping a claim for the Ryder Cup team.
Well, he doesn't want to miss it, does he?
No.
He does not want to miss it. Good week for him finishing second.
Had a go at 18, just couldn't get up and down, could he? On the last hit, didn't hit a great bunker shot, but took it on. Great finishing hole, isn't it? That gets your attention.
Funny thing, have you
thought of your name yet?
It's spinning around. I'm trying to drag out the end of the show. DA points.
DA points.
Yeah,
got
DA
there.
Points.
You got there.
Matt, the producer.
Oh, he told you.
Well, he came up with some stuff I read out earlier on, which is dribble, but that's actually useful.
So you're telling me he's telling you all this stuff in your ear?
No, he just told me. He told me DA points.
Okay.
He played with Bill Murray, and Bill Murray did his usual insane stuff all the way around, and it helped him win.
Has he won since DA
points? And I'm sure Vaughan Taylor won it either last year or the year before. With no form whatsoever, he went there and won at Pebble Beach.
I think that Pro-Am format...
So Ted Potter Jr. out of nowhere wins.
Yeah, but I think what happens in the Pro-Am format is, especially the first 3 days, to get all the guys around, a bit like the Dunhill links, the flag positions aren't that difficult. So it does bring in a lot more players. And then when you play the last round Pebble, they do stick the flags away. But you've had 3 rounds of fairly easy pins, I'd say.
Elsewhere, Paul Casey finished inside the top 10.
As usual.
He's a ka-ching, isn't he, Paul?
He is a ka-ching.
And he is going to be in our Ryder Cup side.
Definitely.
We are very pleased to say... You were impressed with him, weren't you, out in Asia?
Very much so. His attitude, the whole, he brought so much to the team.
Yeah.
He lost his singles, but he played really well. Poom Sek Sansin, he played against, just putted better than Paul, but he's just been such a consistent player for a number of years. Great to have him back in the fold.
With the warm arms of the European Tour wrapped around him.
Giving him a big cuddle.
And Rory missed the cut, which was a surprise. Playing with his dad,
surprise.
A fun event with his dad.
Yeah, there was that one incident where he had five putts. He putted just off the green and then he four putted, but it was pretty quick round by that hole.
On the Poena?
Yeah, it was a par putt down the hill. He gave a bit of a whack and then he missed the next one, but said he's going to go away. He's not too bothered. I think he's going to go away, work on his putting a little bit, but I don't think he played as well.
I don't think we need to worry about Rory.
I'm not worried about it.
No, I'm not. Top 10, please, in the world, Jamie.
Yeah, a strong top 10, and Rory sneaks down a couple of places. He's in 10th place. Brooks Koepka, he's at 9th. Jason Day, he's at 8th. Ricky Fowler at 7. Matsuyama at 6. And our own Justin Rose, he's number 5. Justin Thomas is 4. Spieth is 3. Jon Rahm's had a few chances last few weeks. He's at 2. And Dustin Johnson, He's our number one.
Yeah, Jon Rahm had another chance to go to world number one if he'd have won last week.
No, he's not too far behind.
No, he's not too far behind, so he's going to just keep at it, I suspect. We'll see how the Rahmanator gets on. He was handing out bandanas at in Phoenix with Rambo. Written on the front, yeah. He went down, 20,000 people around that 16th hole. He went down there and went into the golf bag.
What day was that?
Every day. I saw him do it a couple of days anyway. Yeah. And he wore Arizona State. Was it a Cardinals top or
Cardinals Arizona?
Arizona State. It was either the Cardinals or his Arizona State football shirt. Played the hole with it on.
Did he?
Yeah. So he's from the area. He went to school in the area and has an affinity with Phoenix. And he got a lot of cheers, a lot of loud cheers. Thoughts for the week ahead for you?
For me?
Yes.
I'm looking forward to going and seeing a new golf course, working out there for TV.
The One Tree.
I'm looking forward to seeing this One Tree that our producers told us all about. It's exciting me, looking at a tree.
Do you think there'll be a build-up as you get to sort of the fifth?
Two or
three holes to go before you get to the tree.
The tree.
The tree.
Yes.
That's about it for this week's Race to Dubai show. Don't forget that you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and whilst you're there, why don't you leave us a review? Jamie personally responds to every single one, so make sure you're not too mean about him. Join us next week when we'll look back at the NBO Oman Open and also preview the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest European Tour news via Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and Snapchat at europeantour.com or by downloading the official app. But for now, from Jamie Spence, who's gone for
Alexander Bjork and Andy Sullivan.
And I've gone for another Alex, as in Levy and Thomas Detry. From me, Robert Lee and Jamie Spence, it's goodbye.